part two of this. Before Father's Day, I'll give you two things I think that should happen in every man's life for him to become a man. He should reject passivity, and he should take responsibility. The third thing I'm going to talk about today is every man should lead courageously. My theme scripture, you guys should know it by now if you've been coming here. It's on the screen there. I want you to look at the screen with me. It said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And I want to focus on when I became a man, talk about the process of manhood today, and that every man should lead courageously. All right? Let me pick a brother here. Alton, can you come here real quick? Now, I'm not giving you these books. I'm gonna just use them here. Can you hand me all these books? This is from Michael. Just stand and look at me. Just stand right here. Sorry to put you on the spot. So, this is what I don't want it to feel like when I'm preaching. All right, your father, you need this right here. It's called the blessing. You got to speak a blessing over your family's life, and you need to read that book so you can be a better father. Paid to Think, this is one of the best books I ever read, because you do know that they don't pay you because you have bills. I'm going to say that again. They're not hiring because you have bills. They're hiring because you can think. It's called Paid to Think. You need to read that too. Dr. Miles Monroe wrote this book called The Spirit of Leadership. Phenomenal book. You're a father. You're a worker. You do all these things. No man should settle for average. You need to live above mediocrity. So you need to read that one too. Dave Ramsey had this book called Entree Leadership. Man, I tell you, this guy's phenomenal. He wrote Financial Peace. This book is good too. You need to read that one, man. All right? I don't know if you ever read a book before that stirs you up, but this book is called The Go-Getter. Man, this thing right here, it just, every bit of passive nature inside of you, it will stir. Anybody read this book before? If it hadn't, go get this. It's called The Go-Getter. You need to read that one too. You hear me? You need to learn how to talk to people. You hear me? Fierce conversations. This is how you have tough conversations and you do it with a smile. All right? 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. It is a phenomenal book. You need to read this one too. And here's the next one. We're going to Shift Your Life from Good to Great by Jim Collins. And you need to read this one too. Can I ask you a question? How do you feel about being a man right now? Do you want to quit?
It's heavy.
It's heavy. Exact. Thank you. That is the opposite of what I want you to feel like when you come here.
Right.
I don't want you to feel like I'm beating you over your head. You got to reject passivity. You better lead. You better accept responsibility. What's wrong with you now? That's not what I want you to feel like. Because some of you feel guilty enough. You could be in here still high from last night.
Right.
Glad you came. Somebody said, what is that smell? Like, how do you even know that smell? I'm glad you came. The weight of the world can be on you. When you come in here, what I'm preaching is empowerment.
Yes.
It's like this. Jamie, can you meet me in the back?
He's meeting me in the back. In order for Patrick to hear me, or Emmanuel to hear me, I have to raise my voice so that you can clearly hear what I'm saying.
I can relax and talk with ease because I have a mic. When you come in here every Sunday, I don't want you to feel a burden or a weight. I want you to feel the empowerment so that you can be you. Y'all right in here?
Yes.
And do what God has called you to do. Is that all right in here?
Yes.
So the third part of leading, of being the process of becoming a man, you reject passivity, you accept responsibility, and then you got to lead courageously. And I'm going to give you five plays. I was a point guard, so I'm going to give you the plays, and I'm going to give you a signal with it. So this week, ladies, you can give them to your husband or whenever something's going on in your life. Nobody may not know what you're doing, but I'm going to give you five plays to lead courageously.
All right?
You ready? The first play is this. It's called influence. And the key for influence is this. Side of your mouth. Influence. Proverbs 11:11. I'm going to show you where I got it from. It's on the screen, or you can find it on your smartphone there. It says this. By the blessing of the influence of the upright, the city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. So with your mouth, you can tear down. And with your influence, when you speak positive words, you can build up. So this is influence right here. Leadership is all about influence, and influence is given. You gave me influence into your life this morning that you didn't have to come to BFF for church. You don't have to listen. You can go on Facebook. You can go on Instagram right now. You can tune out, or you can do whatever you want to do. But the mere fact that you're listening to me is giving me influence into your life. Influence is not intimidation. Influence is not manipulation. Most people lead from position. And as a man, you can lead because you are the father of the house and because you are a husband. But you can have the position and not have the influence.
Right.
You can have, and people can just tell you exactly what they want you to hear, but they reveal their heart to somebody else. As a father and as a husband, I want to not only be there in position, but I want to have influence in Barbara's life so that she feels comfortable talking to me, so that Isaiah come and talk to me versus somebody else. I don't want somebody else having more influence in his life than what I have as his father or as her husband. I don't want some other man having more influence. Y'all right in here?
Yeah.
Thought the brother would say amen right there.
Amen.
But that influence is not demanded. I'm your husband. You are going to talk to me. We're going out tonight, and we are going to have a good time. And the night is going to end well. How do you think that's going to work? It's not influence. But if you play certain all my life, I pray for someone like you, and I thank God that I finally found and I wash the dishes and pick up my shoes. I never knew that would do it. Put my socks up. That's influence. Fussing is not influence. Influence is the ability to connect with people once you get them to trust you and lead them from point A to point B. I'm going to give you three keys to develop influence. If you're taking notes, I'll give you a bulletin there to do it.
Yeah.
Are you ready? First key to develop influence. Anybody have a job in here?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have a boss in here? I'm going to tell you the quickest way to get influence. And if you lead people, you'll agree with this. Master your current task. Do what you've been assigned to do first. If somebody gives you an assignment, don't put it on the shelf and do what you want to do. That's the quickest way to get demoted or to get the influence taken away from you. But if a person sees you make priority what they ask you to do, man, you will see doors open for you. The next thing is this. Trust and surround yourself with the right people. Didn't realize this. When I first got my first job, I was on this project, and we were on a project to solve a problem. So we worked with stuff that my boss didn't work with every day, so I saw how it worked and knew that they had malfunctions in it. They put us on this team, and I said, there's this lady that needs to be on our team. Why is she not on here? And finally, my boss pulled me to the side and said, Jason, quit asking that. And I said, why? He said, have you seen who she hangs around? She is around everybody who causes problems in this department, and there's no way we're going to give her any kind of influence because it's going to be crazy if we do that. Do you not know that you're labeled by the people you hang around? There's a saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You all right in here? So trust and surround yourself with the right people. And the next thing is this, be a teacher. The teacher amongst you has the greatest influence. You would think it's the encourager, you would think it's the exhorter, but the person who teaches you stuff is the one you can't remember. I can remember coaches who taught me. I can remember the reason my dad and I have a great relationship, he teaches me stuff, all right? So teach, that's a way to gain influence.
Yeah.
The next play is, what's this?
Influence.
All right, good class. The next thing is this. I had to bring in my man Magic. I had to use Steph and Kyrie. Not because he's a Laker, but because he's Magic, right?
All right, both?
All right. Here's a vision. What's this?
Influence.
Vision. Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. If I can give you the Jason Scales version of that is, when people don't know what to do, they make stuff up. They do. You got to have a clear vision, men, or just in general, if you're going to lead, you got to have a clear vision. Every leader needs an imagination. When Barbara and I we first got started, we didn't have much. Man, we would drive in neighborhoods, and she told me I was going to jail because I'd get out and go into houses while they were building them. And she said, you can't do that. I said, ain't nobody here. I would go in there and walk, and we would dream what it would be like walking. This is going to be our house one day. This is what we're going to have in our backyard. This is what our master bedroom is going to like. We would dream. One day, Barbara, we didn't have a whole lot of money. She said, Jason, I love that Audi SUV. I went on Amazon and ordered a little model car. And I said, Barbara, when you get home, I got you a car. I gave her that car and she laughed. That was my faith gift to her. I couldn't buy her no Audi then. But that was my faith gift to say, listen, I got vision. Life ain't always going to be where we are right now, but I'm dreaming beyond. Do you know what would cause many of us to lighten up? If you had a vision beyond where you are right now.
Yeah.
I'm struggling right now, but this is not the end of me. This is rough right now. I made some dumb decisions, but this is not who I am. I see beyond where I am right now.
Yeah.
I want you to encourage your neighbor. Say, neighbor,
I see you in the future,
and you look much better
than you look right now.
That's vision.
Yes, sir.
That's vision. Every leader needs vision, because vision is a picture of a preferred future. You know why many of us are depressed? Because the future you see looks depressing. You need to paint another picture of what you see.
All right?
You need to also have a vision, but you need to have a plan. Some people are great dreamers, but there is no plan to make it happen. So I have a vision. Here's how we're going to make it happen. All right? That's our plan. And then every leader needs the ability to communicate the vision and work the plan and let people know how they fit within the plan. Yeah. So to have a vision, you need this, a picture of a preferred future. You need a plan to make it happen and the ability to articulate how it's going to happen. Does that make sense? What's this? Y'all doing good class, good class. The next one is this. I brought my man MJ in on this one. Anybody think MJ is the GOAT, the greatest of all time when it comes to basketball? We can argue in the back after church, y'all. Yes. Here's the reason why I think MJ is one of the greatest of all times. When it comes to the culture of basketball, I think no other player from his shoes, every kid had a tongue out. I mean, from the way he impacted the game, I think MJ is probably one of the greatest when it comes to the culture of basketball that we've ever seen. And you got to be able, as a leader, to set the culture. Here's my code for set the culture. So let's go right here. What's this? Psalms 133 says this: how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down to the collar of the robe. To many of you, that made no sense. It's like, what relevance is that to my life? Notice it said where it says unity, good and pleasant, but it describes oil. Oil starts here. It runs down through his beard to the skirt of his garment. Yeah. Whatever you want to see in your life, it starts at the top. It starts with you. So if you want to see unity in your house, guess who it needs to start with? You. To every single person who says, I'm looking for the one, I'm looking to marry the one, become the one so you can attract the one. Here's the great thing about being a person. You attract who you are.
Yes.
Become a great person and you will attract other great people. I found out that success runs in small circles. There are people that I've met that are great people, and I found out that they know people of similar and like kind. When you become the person that you're looking for, you will attract who you're looking for.
Yeah.
I said a whole lot right there. So become what you want to see in your life.
Yeah.
As a husband, you may feel like you're all the one that's all the time apologizing in your house. Here's what I want to tell you. Keep on apologizing.
Yeah.
Because before you know it, apologies are going to show up everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I'm setting the culture of what I want to see. Three things you got to do. You got to be the culture.
Yeah.
Be what you want to see. Whatever you want, that's male and female, be it. And you'll see it show up in your life. You want petty stuff to disappear out of your life? Quit being petty. Petty attract petty, I know. I can be petty sometimes. But if I don't want petty to show up, Barbara told me yesterday, just you being real petty, and I said, I'm loving it. Cut it out. She did. She called me on it. But if I don't want that in my life, guess what? When I'm petty, it provokes petty in her, unless she's the bigger person. That makes sense? So be the culture. Next thing is this. Know what's going on in your culture. Men, talk to me for a moment. Every man knows what's going on in his environment. Your husband or your boyfriend ever came to you, and watch this, you got to balance this wisdom with insecurity. I don't know about him. What you mean? Ain't nobody studying him. But he senses something in his environment. He's coming at you a different kind of way. I feel kind of funny about him in my environment. Barbara and I, when we lived in Antioch, I came home one day. And I said, who's been here? Don't look at her crazy, nothing like that. Some of y'all are like, oh, my God. Her pastor from Midland came down, and he prayed. I said, somebody's been praying in here. And she said, yeah, Pastor Keenan came down. He blessed the house. He prayed over Isaiah, and he told me to tell you everything's going to be okay. As a man, I know my environment. You may think your husband's crazy. You don't think he know what he's talking about. But because we are sent to protect. Lady, you know when somebody's in your environment. You know, you opening too many doors today. You doing too much flexing. What you got going on? No, y'all look straight at me. I'm talking about you sense when something's in your environment. You use that as a gift from God. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to look at Isaiah's iPad. And I looked at his iPad, and I went into history. I don't know who it was. Some little kid in the neighborhood had been looking at pornography for weeks. And you know how I knew it wasn't Isaiah? This man spelled impeccably. I mean, he would spell some words I didn't know how to spell. And I said, he don't spell that good, so I knew it wasn't him. He spells good, but not that good. Now, when the Lord showed that to me, I didn't need to go act like Nino Brown, put on black and a gold chain, get me a Rottweiler, put all these little kids on the table in the garage. One of you been looking at pornography on my son's iPad. And we're going, no, I didn't do that. It was a great teaching moment. It was a moment for me to share Isaiah, how I was introduced to pornography. It was a moment for me to share to him what it can do to your life. It was a teaching moment, not a moment for me to snap. Fellas, ladies in here, if God ever shows you something, it's not for you to snap and go off. Whenever God speaks something to you, he always gives you wisdom and peace and direction behind it on how to handle it. God's not trying to make you lose your mind. God's not trying to make you snap and go off on everybody and you go off and just snap and do up. No, God's not trying to do that. He's trying to give you wisdom because he wants you to keep the culture that you live in. Is that all right in here?
Oh, yes.
Fellas, can I say this? If God gives you a gift and people love to talk to you, don't manipulate that gift.
All right.
Young ladies come and talk to you and they just pour their heart out to you. Don't use that to sleep with them.
All right.
You all right? Don't use that to get Jordans and your rent paid and your car no paid. y'all keep looking straight ahead. It's all right. That's a gift that God gave you. Use it to build the kingdom. Because if it ain't going to be your wife, it's going to be somebody's wife. And some man is catching hell now because of what you did.
All
right. Y'all just look this way. I'm all right. The next thing is this. You got to enhance the culture that you're a part of. Set the culture, be the culture, know the culture, and enforce it. Michael Jordan, they said, in practice, if you didn't go hard, he was on you. There was never a day, they said, he took a break. You got to enforce the culture. And that's not fussing. Because I think people who fuss all the time don't know how to lead. When you enforce the culture, is that you see potential inside of somebody and you can correct an action. Anybody have parents that whipped you when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah.
I raised both of my hands. I remember some of the best ones. I just fell out one day and mama just lifted me up. Wow. You know, I thought about it. You just take a nap when you get through. Ain't nothing to do with just go to sleep. I'd rather my mama whip me than my daddy. Daddy would smile before he whipped us, hit us about twice and go send us about our way. Mama would go off. One day, mama said, I'm too angry to whip you, because if I whipped you right now, I would hurt you. I said, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, you know that was going to be a bad one right there. Here's the thing about God. If God ever disciplines you and corrects you, it's not out of anger. Whenever you correct out of anger, you'll say stuff you don't mean. You may mean it at the time, but you say stuff you shouldn't, and you'll go too far. Some of us think right now that God is in heaven taking count of everything you've done and you repenting for stuff you know you did and stuff you didn't know because you think my life is going to fall apart because God is angry. God never corrects you because he's angry. He corrects actions that he doesn't want to see repeated again.
Yes.
That's why I watched this one lady. She said, I beat my kid every day for the same thing. He keep doing it and I'm keep beating him. I'm like, duh, beating ain't working. You didn't figure that out. Like, teach him. Reinforce him, encourage him, so you can see that action stop. That's the point. That's how you correct the culture, not out of anger. You do it so an action will not be repeated. Does that make sense in here?
Yes.
The next thing is this. Let's see. What's this?
Influence.
What's this? All right, I didn't give you the last one, did I? Enforce the culture is this. That's enforce. The next one is think. Think is this. You got to have the ability to think. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God gave you a brilliant mind. So let's use it. I think one of the greatest, sexiest, most attractive things a person can have is a mind. A mind that thinks, a mind that works, a person who doesn't check their brain out, just not pure emotional. Here's how you think. You think like a prudent man. A prudent man who is one who cares enough and he thinks about the future. Proverbs 13 and 16 says this. Every prudent and self-disciplined man acts with knowledge. But a closed-minded fool, the Bible said that, who refuses to learn, y'all know nobody like that, displays his foolishness for all to see. And they're not quiet. You figure out the fool's always talking? They're loud. They post every 10 minutes. I mean, they just keep putting stuff out there. It's like, will you stop for the love of God? And they won't. A prudent person acts, and they show care for the future. There are two things that I want you to do. When you think prudently, you ask yourself, where am I going to land when I take a step? If I do this, where is it going to take me? Is it going to take me towards my destiny or towards my downfall? And I always want to be stepping towards my destiny. The second thing I ask myself is this. If I get it, what am I going to do with it?
Yes.
Y'all probably have never done this, but you've been to the store and you saw something that was so cheap. You saw that there's no way I can go without this. It's 75% off. It was $150 and now it's $9.99 and you bought it and it's still sitting in your closet because it was cheap and you had no plans for it. Whatever you get, You got to have plans for it. So you ask yourself when I do this, where am I going to land when I take a step? If I date him or if I go here, is it going to get me closer to my destiny? Because God will never bring somebody into your life who makes you worse than what you were before they came in it. I said a whole lot right there. Whenever God brings something in your life, it always makes you better than you were before. And then you're going to ask yourself this question, what am I going to do with it if I get it? The next thing is this, you got to have judgment. Proverbs 18 and 17 says this, the first one to plead his case seems right until another comes and cross-examines him. When I think with judgment, I always know this, there are two sides to every story. I love what Elder Holman, who's sitting on the front, he's a principal, and whenever he has parents come in and they go off with him, go off on him based off what his kids say, he says this, if you're going to believe everything your kid says to me about you, I'm going to believe everything they say to me about you. Two sides to every story. How many know somebody who doesn't like somebody they never met? Don't they get on your nerves? Hating downplaying a restaurant you never ate at. You need to consider the source on some of this stuff whenever you decide you don't like something. And there's a whole lot of people who have liked you, who have met you and said, you're not as mean as they say you are. You never knew that you were talking to the most sensitive, easily offended person ever. And, of course, they don't like nobody. So you got to watch and consider the source and have judgment and think about this. There are two sides to every story. All right? So let's go where I'm going. What's this? What's this? What's this? Man, y'all good class. Y'all so good. I'm on my last point. It's 11:32. Last one is I had to bring my man LeBron in. You got to be the man. This right here, be the man. Proverbs 29 and 2 says, when the righteous are in authority and become great, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan and sigh. I believe for every leadership position, there was a Christian that should be in that place because you're going to push people to the next level and you're going to do things fairly and with justice. I believe that. And when the righteous rule, people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, people groan. If you're going to be the man, here's my thing, be the man. If you're going to be the man. Step up in every area of your life, not just in your swag and the way you look, but in your responsibility, in every part of your, does that make sense in here?
Yeah.
When it's time to step up, step up. Passive people lead to make everybody happy. They just want you happy, whatever you want, that's what we're going to do. And after a while, you get tired of that passivity. Aggressive bullies are like James Evan. They just, well, this is what we're going to eat. This is what we're going to do. This is what you're going to wear. This is where you're going to go to buy that. And this is how you're going to wear it. This is how you're going to stand when you sit beside me. And after a while, you're like, dog, what in the world am I going to do? That's an aggressive bully. But the right way to lead is this. You feel the moment and do what's appropriate. You got to do what you are supposed to do when it's time to do it. I'll close with this. My wife is a very strong lady, type A personality. I could be a type A too. So you can imagine what it's like sometimes in our home. I'm like, Barbara, you're not at work. I'm not the employee. Jason, you're not at church. You're not the pastor here. It's all right. Y'all probably never talk like that. Strong, getting a PhD, just a woman power. She just makes women proud because she's doing it. She does. But she's married, and we got to learn how to live together. And we do it, right? So we were at this thing in Antioch, this hair supply store. And Barbara's an advocate. She hates to see domestic violence or anything like that. And this man was in this car, and he had a woman by the neck and snatching her key out the car. Barbara said, what are you doing? And before I knew it, I dove in the car. I grabbed the man. I said, man, you can't do this to this woman. And I took the key. He said, stop. I said, man, you can't grab a woman by the throat and take a key like this. He said, I'm the owner of the store. Her little girl stole some stuff in here. I said, give me strength. Little bad kids in the back done stole something. I said, I don't care what she said. He said, I'm going to hold her here till the police come. I said, man, you can't hold this woman. You don't know who she date. They're going to come shoot up your store, and all of us sit up in here. You don't know who she date. And he got out. He gave the keys back to the woman. Me and the man sitting there talking. And a woman drove off and almost hit me, didn't she? I said, woman, I saved your life. You almost hit me. And I went back to the car, and Barbara looked at me, and I said, what? And she looked at me, and I said, what? And she looked at me, and I said, oh. She said, Jason, I liked it when you were assertive, strong, independent, woman power. She said, I loved it when you were, boy, I was riding around Antioch looking for fights to break up. I wish somebody would. Every day I'm riding around the neighborhood. Look, kids, y'all fight so I can break it up, go home, and come watch this. Breaking stuff up. I ain't think about the little man had a gun or something. I'm like, the little man would have had a gun. I said, I told you about messing with these folks. Ladies, be honest. As strong as you are, as independent as you are, you love when a man is a man. Yeah. And you love for a man to be a man. Yeah. Fellas, I want to challenge you as I'm through. Be the man. Shame and guilt will get you to not step up, or I can't do this. Or sometimes you're intimidated. My wife has a very dominating personality, and you could see someone, they don't need my help. Yes, everybody needs help. Yes. Step up and be who you are. That don't mean you go home today and kick over the fish out the fishbowl, put the dog outside, put the kid in his room, give him some Benadryl, put him to sleep and say, listen, woman, there's a new man in this house. No, you're going to be talking to yourself. It means this. If you got broken promises, go apologize. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have did this. I should have did that. Go make up. Go step up and be the man. Speak your mind. Say, hey, this is what I think God's speaking to us. This is what I think we should do. What do you think about this? Satan will try to steal your authority from you. And there's something missing when you're not taking your place. It's not just about men only. It's about men and women coming beside each other and being who God called us to be. Fellas, as I'm closing, be the man. Be the man. If I give you five plays today, what were they? Good class. Stand to your feet. Ladies, this week, instead of fussing, if you see where we're going, what we're doing, like this.